I've been meditating on this, what I want to share with you. We need to learn how to exercise our hope. Hope's not a bad word. Hebrews chapter 11. Very, very familiar scripture. I just want to emphasize some, and it's out of the Amplified. Hebrews chapter 11, and just a couple of words there that are joined together. Hopefully it's going to bring some revelation to us. But here's what it said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 out of the Amplified. And while they're getting that ready, I'm going to get to it right here. It says, now, listen to this. It says, now faith is the assurance being the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. So hope, you know, people say, well, don't get your hopes too high. No. You get your hopes as high as you can possibly get. But you have to activate the hope with faith. Amen. Faith has to be involved with hope. Hope isn't just a dreamy word. No. It's a very significant word in the kingdom of God. Because right here it says, things we hope for, or that divine expectation. And I'll get to a scripture after a while where in Romans says that Abraham hoped against hope. So hope, you know, we years ago, and to still today, you find ask somebody, say, do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I hope so. That's a surface hope. That's a meaningless hope. No, I know I'm going to heaven. And that's when you ask them, do you want to make sure you're going to heaven? Right. A real quick testimony. Years ago, this was probably 99, maybe 2000. And I remember this. I had that stroke in 98, but this I really, really remember. Because a lot of that stuff I don't remember. Tricia was going through the change of life, and I couldn't have cared less. Hallelujah.
My life was changing.
Her life was changing. It was changing. And I'm just floating along. Well, really? Are you going through that? I remember y'all coming to the house and loading our truck up when we headed to Florida. Good to see you, my brother. But I remember that. And there's certain things that I remember about that move, but there's certain things I don't remember. And it's because I had that stroke. But I do remember this. These two ladies came to our house, and they were Mormons. Usually it's man and man would come to your house and knock on your door. And I stood on that little stoop. I said, I think I'm going to talk to these ladies. And I just talked to them. And begin to get into a deep conversation about their salvation. Do you know? And I said, do you know you're going to heaven? Do you know your heaven is your destiny? And I'm capsuling this. They stood there for about 45 minutes. You know, they have a, what can you say? They have a mature and they have a novice. And I'm talking to the novice because she's interested. And I said, do you know that you're going to go to heaven? Well, I hope so. I said, would you like to make sure that I said, I shared my salvation. I said, I know I'm going to heaven because Jesus is my Savior. I received the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ wiped away my sin. And I said, would you like to make sure that heaven would be your destination? And she hesitated. She said, yes, I would. And the girl grabbed her and said, we got to go. We got another appointment. I hope so. I hope that hope changed to a divine expectation. But here it says, faith. Now, faith is the assurance or the confirmation. Faith is the title deed. And I'm going to go back to a scripture that you all have heard so many times. How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Amplified says, hear by hearing what Christ has preached. And you remember what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that God speaks of those things that be not as though they were. The Amplified said God speaks of those things that he has promised and foretold as if they already existed. Amen. Put your hope in the already existed.
Amen.
Put your hope in what the Word said. Put your faith, mix your faith with what the Word of God says. Faith and hope have to go together.
Amen.
And like I said, hope is not just a dreamy, dreamy realm. Hope is reality. Amen. Now, I've got several scriptures here, and I was going to try to get them in chronological order. And look over here in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And let's look in verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6. This is what the Amplified said. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. Thank God for our sound booth. Thank God for y'all. Thank y'all. Y'all are up there. Amen. It says now. When?
Now.
Now we have this hope or this divine expectation as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, an anchor of the soul. It cannot slip. Are y'all getting this?
Amen.
This hope, this anchor that we have our hope in. I said this anchor that we have our hope in. It cannot slip. It cannot break down under whoever steps out upon it. A hope that reaches farther and enters into the very certainty of the presence of the veil. Amen. And now go to verse 20. The veil where Jesus has entered in for us. A forerunner, having become a high priest forever after the order with the rank of Melchizedek. So what is this hope? My hope is that the anchor, the Word of God is an anchor in my soul. The Word holds me. And go back to what Proverbs chapter 18, 14 says, that the strong spirit of a man will sustain him. Will sustain him and keep him in times of trouble and also in times of pain. But you have to have the hope in the Word, and the Word needs to be settled down into your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to this. I've got so much. Can I preach next week? All right, let's go to Ephesians. Trisha's got a good word next week. I'm going to sit here and listen to it. I like to listen to her preach. I really, really, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Listen to this. And we'll talk about in Hebrews that our hope goes further. It goes further. Listen to this. Now to him who by the action of his power, listen to this, by the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do supernaturally, far over, above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, and everybody say it,
hopes
and dreams. Keep your hopes high. You know what I thought about? I was going to try to find it. How many has heard that song? Whoops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Dun, 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 dun. You know, now you know why I don't sing for a living. I still think when I sing, God says, could you hum just a little bit? Those ants, they are carrying something that's how many times larger than them?
Yep.
But they have an expectation they can do it. They have a hope. They have a desire they can do it. Amen? So keep your hopes as high as a rubber tree plant. However high a rubber tree plant grows. I don't know. I got that, and I'm glad you said that. How many has ever read the story about the bamboo tree? Google it. Read it. And I'm talking about hope. In China, they sell bamboo. They use a lot of bamboo for their livelihood. And this man, I read the story. How many remember George Pigeon came up here several months ago? He told me about this, and he sent me the information, and I read it. And this man said, was told in China, he said, if you will take I'm not sure if it was a seed, a stalk or something, and bury it. And if you will water it every day, two or three times a day, every day, for 5 years. 5 years. He said, if you will be consistent in doing what I tell you to do, in 5 years, you will be well off. And the man watered it every day. Did he get tired of watering? He got tired of watering. But he had a hope. Elaine, he had that divine expectation. He said, the man said, if I'll water this, if I'll take care of this bamboo tree, it'll come up in 5 years. 3.5 years, he was about to get discouraged. Now, when you're expecting something, don't you want it right now? We live in such a microwave. I remember when microwaves came out. I was working at the phosphate mines, and this was 1965, 66. And they had a microwave oven in the little, I was going to say roach coach. It was our snack shack. And I learned how to use the microwave. And I put that thing in there, and boom, 1 minute, man, that little sandwich is hot. But we get so used to computers. I punched you. Why aren't you up? How many talk to their computers? I mean, they just really, really talk to their computers. How many fuss at their computers? I mean, just really fuss. I'll be in the living room trying. Are you saying something? No, I'm talking to this computer. They have to. But their people want it now. Now. So 3.5 years, the man's about to get discouraged. 4 years, he almost talked himself out of it. 4.5 years, he almost quit. In 5 years, he saw the shoot come out of the ground. In 3 weeks, 2.5 to 3 weeks, the bamboo was 60 to 70 feet high. He said you could almost watch it grow. What was he doing? He kept his hopes up. He kept his expectations up. Whatever you're hoping for, it can be your children, it can be your finances, it can be relationships. Whatever it is, if you have that divine expectation, maintain patience. Let patience have its perfect work. Let patience have its perfect work so it can do a thorough work in you, so you'll be a people lacking nothing. I'm convinced that when people lose hope, when they lose hope, they lose patience. And I'm convinced that impatience has stolen and robbed so many blessings. So many blessings that you've cut the blessings off because of the lack of, you let your hopes down. Look in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13. And let's look in 12. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. give you time to get there. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Listen to this. But when the desire is fulfilled, it's a tree of life. Don't allow your hope to get deferred. How do you do that? You stay in the Word of God. You find out what the Word says and you put it in your heart. You're beginning now to rely on what God is telling you is the truth. And like Gene said this morning, God's, the promises of God are always yes and amen. Always yes and amen. Didn't you say that this morning?
Yes.
Always. The promises of God are always yes and amen. And God speaks of those things that He foretold and promised as if they already existed. Don't lose your hope. Whatever you're standing, if you know it's God's will, don't back off.
No.
Don't quit. Persevere. What would have happened? What would have happened if the people when the ships landed in back in when Columbus, whoever discovered America, Columbus or no? But whenever the pilgrims come across, what would have happened? What would have happened? What would have happened if they didn't progress west? When they got to the Mississippi, oh, we can't cross that. No, we can. No, they built something. They crossed it. When they got to a mountain, they overcome it. When they got to a valley, they went through it. What would have happened? What would have happened if Edison can't do that? No, no, no. Whatever you believe in your heart, you can do. Amen? Was it Thomas Edison that invented the electricity? Not invented, but found out about electricity. Electricity had always been here. Electricity had been here since the beginning of time. But he found out how to tap into it.
Amen.
How many times did he try? He didn't fail. He said he never failed. Was it 10,000 times? Was that about right? About 10,000 times? And they said, you failed 10,000. No. I just found out 10,000 ways that didn't work. Amen? How many remember Vince Lombardi? He was the coach of the Green Bay Packers. And I heard this. An interviewer was talking to him one day. He said, how do you feel about losing football games? He said, I've never lost a football game. He said, really? He said, no, I just run out of time. I just ran out of time. He'd have beat him. He said, I know I'd have beat him. I just ran out of time. There were 60 minutes we had to play. I ran out of time. I would have whipped them guys. Amen. And have the attitude of Micah. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I shall arise. Where is your hope? Where is your divine expectation? Is it in what God told you you can do? Or do you get to a place and you find out that door is not open? No, I'm pressing. I'm going to kick that door down. I'm going through it. If God said there's a blessing on the other side, I'm going to the other side.
Amen?
Amen. How many have found blessings When you move to where you are now? I'm talking about to this area of Virginia. How many has found blessings? I remember Keith Moore. He's a tremendous, tremendous man of God. Worked with the Hagans, I think, for 15 or 16 years. Traveled with them. Ministered at Rhema. And had his dream home built in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I mean, he was settling in. You know, he was traveling and doing some ministry and what have you. And he said, the Holy Spirit said, now it's time for you to move. He said, they had a little bit of wrestling match there. But he wanted him to move to Branson, Missouri. And he said, what happened was, they sold their home in Tulsa, moved to Branson. And he said, Branson was his place of harvest. That was his place of harvest. Don't be afraid to move where God tells you to move if you know He told you to move. This is Thomas Edison. As an inventor. Well, I blew it, didn't I?
Yes.
About 9,000.
Yeah.
As an inventor, it was both of us, brother. I thought it was 10,000. You as guilty as I am. No. It said, as an inventor, Edison made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. When a reporter asked, how did it feel to fail 1,000 times? Edison replied, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps.
I like that.
You just keep plowing and pressing. Keep moving. Keep doing something. If you don't see the change you want to see, just keep on pressing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love it. That's good. Thank you, darling. Thank you for looking that up. Amen. Amen. Do what?
What you?
She going to Google a bamboo tree. Would you pay attention? Oh, glory. I love it. I love that woman. Hallelujah. Let's look in Romans chapter 5. I hope y'all are getting something out of this. As I was preparing this, man, it just began to stir in my heart. I will not give up hope. I don't care what it is. If I know God's involved in it, I will not give up hope. Romans chapter 5. Let's look in verse 1. Therefore, this is Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through Him also we have our access, entrance, introduction by faith into this grace, the state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice, listen to this, and let us rejoice and exult in our hope, in our divine expectation of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Boy, that's a good time to say hallelujah. Moreover, let us be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in, not because of, but let us triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. And endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character. Approved faith and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope, listen to this, such hope never disappoints. Such hope never deludes. Such hope never shames us. For God's love has been poured. I like how he puts this in the bottom of that scripture. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given us. Isn't it amazing? Yeah, faith mixed with hope. You got love mixed with hope. Amen. So don't allow yourself to have the hopeless feeling. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And once we get into that hopeless, have you ever been there? You don't have to shake your head. But if you have, a lot of us have, but we've been there.
Yeah.
We've had high hopes for things, and all of a sudden, bang, circumstances change. There's a friend of ours, very, very close friend of ours, had lots of money in the bank. Lots of money in the bank. And his wife kept telling him, and it was in stocks and what have you, you need to move. This was several years ago. You really need to move that money. And finally say, oh, honey, it's going to be fine. It's going to be all right. Day after day, week after week, I'm just perceiving. And they were born again, love God, spirit filled. I just think you ought to move that. y'all just ought to move that money to another area. No, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. This went on week after week, week after week. Finally, woke up one morning. $500,000 was flushed down the tube. $500,000 gone. They're not retrieving that. It's gone. Do you think that woman's hope was deferred? Do you think that man had claw marks on him? Do you think he finally woke up and got that pillow off his face? She said she really had to work on that. Really. $500,000 gone. That will defer some hope. Well, don't put your hope in natural things.
No.
I like the attitude. I like the attitude of it. What's Walton's name that owned Walmart? Sam Walton. I read this. If I remember right, it was back in October of '88 when the stock market fell and people lost lots of money. Lots of money. Well, I think he lost around $8 billion or something like that. And someone asked him, said, Mr. Walton said, how did you take that? He said, oh, that didn't bother me a bit. He said, there's more money. There's more money. Money will come. Didn't bother him. His hope wasn't deferred. Don't put your hopes in material things. Don't put your hope. I heard people, I have relatives that say, man, once I win the lottery, that's my lottery.
Lottery?
Once I win the lottery, I'm going to start giving, I'm going to start doing. No. God can't trust you with it. Why aren't you giving now?
Amen.
I'm going to bless so-and-so with it. Well, go ahead and bless them with a dollar bill. I got so blessed the other day. I was in a grocery store. It was Winn-Dixie.
It was Winn-Dixie.
I was going to find Winn-Dixie here yesterday. And Trish said, there's no Winn-Dixie here. We got food line. I was in Winn-Dixie the other day. And I'm standing behind this gentleman and his child. Young man, he's in his, I'm going to say, early to mid-30s. Buying his groceries, you know, and his having trouble with his card. I said, sir, will you let me do you a favor? I said, I want to buy your groceries. Oh, the look on his face. And he had a veteran shirt on. Look on, he said, are you sure? I said, I want to bless you and let you know God loves you. He said, they're over $100. I said, I don't care. I want to bless you and let you know just how much God loves you. And you got a pretty child there too. You have a blessed day. You don't think that blessed me? That's the first. I wanted to do it one time, probably 3 or 4 years ago, right here in Kroger. Young couple up there at the counter, you know, and they're checking out. Had two baskets full of groceries. I was going to pay for them. Oh no, we've got food cards. What is it? Food stamps? No, that's okay. We got food stamps. You go for it. I was going to bless them and they refused it. But it blessed me so much. Keep your hopes out there to keep money in your pocket. To bless people.
Amen.
To bless people. All my money today went in that. I'm without money.
Then you'll be asking.
And I'll be asking Tricia. And you know what she'll say? Go to SunTrust. So, no. Oh, glory. Keep your hopes up. Keep your hopes up. Amen. Let's look in. I'll close with this. Wow, we all do some homework. We all write these scriptures down. And there's many more. But just write these scriptures down. I'm going to give them to you. All of these are out of Psalms. All these, and I'll tell you when it changes to another book. All these that I'm about to give you is out of Psalms. Psalms 31:24, 33:18, 38:15, 39:7, 78:1-7, that's a good one. 119:49, 119:14, Proverbs 14:32, and the rest are out of Romans 4:18, 8:20-25, and Romans 15:13. Glory, glory, glory. But let's go to, and like I say, I'll finish with this. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith, in order that it might be given as an act of grace that is unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. As it is written, and I'm going to go continue on down through this. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone. Human reason for hope being gone. Hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised. So numberless shall be your descendants, or shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and do what he had promised. That is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness, or right standing with God. But the words it was credited to him were written not for his sake alone. Listen to this. But they were written for our sakes too. Righteousness, standing acceptable to God, would be granted and credited to us also who believe, who trust in, who adhere to and rely on God, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds, and was raised to secure our justification, our acquittal, making our account balance, and absolving us from all guilt before God. That's where my hope's at. Don't let your hopes get deferred. No. Keep your hopes high. Whatever you're believing God for, have that divine expectation. God can bring you, God can bring you out of oppression or depression. He can bring you out from under financial problems. He can bring you out from emotional problems. If something looks so hard, so bad, don't give up hope. It will change. And a lot of times, don't ask God to change somebody. Ask Him to change you. If somebody's giving you a problem, sometimes it ain't their problem, it's yours. Ask God to change you. Amen. Whatever we do needs to be pleasing to God. If whatever you're doing is not pleasing to God and you know it, turn. Do the things that are pleasing to God. Your words, your actions, your choices, the way you spend your money, the way you treat your family, the way you drive your car. Everything. Let it be pleasing to God. Amen. Amen. Praise God.